This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Our own Renee Montaigne is in Afghanistan. And where exactly in Afghanistan, Renee?
Steve, you're finding me this morning in the most remote region along the country's northern border. It's the province of Badakhshan. And this province is where the ancient Silk Road once passed through China. These days, those days are gone. It's an impoverished place. It has few passable roads. And that is one reason I'm here, because I'm going to talk about women, isolated, unable to get care, dying in childbirth in greater numbers than anywhere else in the world.
Okay, so you're in this province that, if you look at a map of Afghanistan, if you think of it as a big pot or a big kettle, this is the province that's kind of the handle sticking out on the right side. Very
right.
Mountainous there, and very high, not just infant mortality, but maternal mortality rates. And how are Afghans trying to change that?
In a word, Steve, midwives. In rural areas, generally, midwives are the key to bringing down these really high rates of both infant and maternal mortality. You know, here in Badakhshan province, more than one out of every five babies born dies at birth. And it's not easy getting help to these tiny villages, a lot of them perched along narrow valleys threading through the mountains that cover this region. And added to that, unrest has made it more dangerous. It was in Badakhshan, here in this province, where just a few weeks ago, 10 members of a different medical mission, some of whom had been working in Afghanistan for decades, were pulled from their vehicles and murdered.
Has that stopped the aid workers, the aid efforts that you're focusing on?
Not at all. They, of course, take precautions. They call ahead to check on the places that they're going as to what the security situation is. But I'm following a group here that's been setting up clinics and training midwives in half of Afghanistan's provinces, including war zones like Kandahar and Helmand. So it's a pretty intrepid group. It's called JAPIGO, this organization. It's affiliated with Johns Hopkins University. It's funded by USAID. And we've been visiting some of its more far-flung clinics here in Badakhshan. The first thing that strikes one walking into this clinic, perched high on a mountain in the village of Shatak, is how fresh it smells and how its white tiled floors shine. At a desk just outside the delivery room, a slender young midwife in a crisp white jacket and cap leans in to offer advice to a patient in a faded blue burqa. There's a baby hidden beneath that burqa, but the top is pulled back just enough to reveal the deeply tanned face of a woman who's worked all her life in the fields. Midwife Ferengiz Sultani is showing a series of illustrated lessons on child nutrition, hygiene, and how best to keep a baby healthy. Here, the midwife is telling her patient, feed your baby breast milk, powdered or cow's milk. That will lead to diarrhea. Ferengiz Sultani has been delivering babies here for 2 years now. And when I ask her if she remembers one birth in particular, she quickly reaches to the top of a high cabinet and pulls down a large bound ledger. Inscribed on these pages are the names of all her patients. She traces her finger until she finds the one she wants, a woman in labor who made the journey on a donkey.
I successfully delivered the baby, but I found out that it was a twin. But the problem was that the second baby was in a horizontal position. If she delivered the baby horizontally, she's gonna die.
Ferengiz Sultani says it may have been the hand of God, but the baby turned and came out fine. The joy lasted but a moment, because on that winter's day, this new mother began to hemorrhage, and that's something that kills one of every three women here who die in childbirth.
So I put the babies in this room, and I turned on the heater, and I went to the other room to take care of the mother. And after injecting some drugs and medicines, I finally managed to stop the bleeding, and at the end of that 2 days, she was completely healthy, and she went home.
Out in the hall, obstetrician Nasratullah Ansari looks around the clinic with pride. He's the technical director of the Midwife Project, and his group figured out a way to help women survive giving birth when they're too far up in the mountains to reach the clinic in time. It's quite simple. Health workers are supplied with a pill that can stop bleeding, a drug long used in America for gastric ulcers called misoprostol.
We call it life-saving drug. We can save the lives of thousands and thousands of mothers in the country with this intervention, which is cheap, and women can be saved.
When this project began 6 years ago, the men of Afghanistan posed a particular challenge to training midwives. Fathers and husbands here abhor the idea of their women working at a job, or worse, traveling many miles from their village on their own, which is exactly what these young women must do. Each spends a year and a half at their provincial capital at a school for midwives. To get buy-in, the organization Japaigo set up village health councils so that it is the elders themselves who decide which bright young woman should be sent for training. Haba Noon is one of those women.
I was selected by my people in this village, and since I was living here, everyone knew me.
Does it make a difference? Is it important that it was the people in this village and the elders who approved and chose her?
It was very important. They chose me and sent me to school, and now I'm back, here to serve my people.
Dr. Ansari says he's heard this over and over again.
They are so proud to be a midwife. They are taking care of the whole village. And the other thing is, they are so proud they can receive salary. It's sort of empowerment of women.
One of the most influential men in Badakhshan is Malawi Zabihullah Atik. As the head of the provincial council, he has visited every one of the 100 clinics in the province. His only criticism? There should be more. Malawi Atik was born within days of the Soviet invasion 30 years ago in a snowbound village deep in the mountains. For those people, he says, not much has changed.
Most of the time, these pregnant women die on the way. They put them on a stretcher and they walk all the way from these remote districts. One of my aunts died during delivery. Another aunt has lost over 8 children.
When this program started, what was the response here to the proposition that girls from villages would be trained as midwives?
I'm a religious person, I'm a mullah, but I realized that it's a necessity. I even sent one of my sisters to go and be part of the training. We realized that's how we can protect our pregnant women and daughters.
The very last clinic on the list for Dr. Ansari's team to visit is in a village called Karakus, and it offered a fine farewell to Badakhshan. A baby was born. The next morning, I went along with the young midwife who delivered that baby to find out how the mother was doing. She was sitting on a dirt floor, holding her hours-old infant, surrounded by grandmothers and aunts and the father, all beaming.
Oh, very nice. He's so tiny.
The grandmother is telling me that no woman there has ever gone to a midwife before, and many had died. They all agreed this was far better. Because look, says the grandmother, touching this perfect baby boy, he is, she says, a golden child.
Renee's reports from Afghanistan are produced by Jim Wildman. It's NPR News.